The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 20th day of September, Tuesday, 2022. And tonight we have, like always, boy, do we have a lot coming your way, folks. And tonight, our producer is none other than the courageous one, Courageous
Good Craig. Evening, everybody.
And, of course, tonight, Tuesday night, is the Parson Joe Larson's night with me. Parson
when
Joe.
When the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there. How about the rest of you?
All right, very good. Now, Joe, do you remember what the title of the message was?
The title was, very simply, Who is Right and Who is Left?
All right, let's start out tonight. I'm going to mess you up a little bit. We'll start with Jonah chapter 4, but let's start with verse 1 and read the entire 11 verses. So take her away, Joe.
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? And also much cattle.
All right, so now here, we know the story of Jonah. Jonah was kind of angry because the Lord had sent him to Nineveh to preach what?
Repentance to to the most wicked city, and they were not his own people either. He was to preach to others.
Well, see, so Jonah, now God had commanded Jonah to go there, and Jonah jumped on a ship going to Tarshish.
Run.
Yeah, and so now God kind of changed all of that up. If God tells you to go someplace, is he going to get you there right when and right where he wants you or not?
I can vouch for that because when I was first called to the ministry, I was going, me? Come on, no way. Look, we had a long argument, and you can see who won.
Okay, so now here, you know, Jonah was steadfast against going. Now, he's arguing with God here, and he kind of pretty quickly forgot when he was talking about, because he says to God, well, gee, he's that you're gracious and you're merciful and you're slow to anger, and that's not what Jonah wanted. He wanted the destruction of Nineveh. So, now what so was it to make Jonah?
Right? These were great enemies.
They were great enemies, but what one thing was that was very particular that made Jonah hate the Ninevites? And Jonah did not want to have to be the one to go back to Israel and say, guess what? I went in and I was preaching repentance, and then the Ninevites, they repented, and God did not destroy them. He didn't want to be the one to go back to Israel and tell them that, because legend had it that when Ninevites would capture an Israeli, that they would skin the men and hang the men's hides on their tents, and that it was a fierce and a wicked thing. Okay.
Yeah, that kind of. There's one thing being killed in battle, another thing being skinned alive.
Yeah. Well, so that's why they were known to be fierce, fierce enemies. So Jonah decided, I'm not going to be the one to go in there and preach repentance, because God is very merciful. God, if they repent, will forgive them. And God will spare him, and I don't want that. So he jumped on a ship going the other way. And now God showed some mercy to Jonah, okay, when the sailors threw Jonah overboard. Jonah had told them, look, it's me. It's the reason that the sea is so angry, and the reason this ship's about to go down is me. You have to throw me overboard, or you're all going to perish. So God showed mercy to the sailors.
Right, he saved them.
And then God sent a giant fish or a whale, and he swallowed up Jonah, and he took Jonah, and he spit him out on the shores there of Nineveh. Now, when the Ninevites saw that, when they saw that whale delivering Jonah, what was it that they... What came to their mind?
This was something that was very special. This was not just a ordinary occurrence, and it was something that was a sign, a symbol they should pay attention to this man that came from the belly of a fish, from the depth of the ocean.
Well, it was because Dagon was the fish god. Dagon was their god. They worshipped this giant fish or whale, the sea. That was their god. And now, do you see the hat that the Pope wears? That is the hat of Dagon. He wears the hat of the god of Dagon. Okay, so here, when they saw what they considered that their god had sent this man, this prophet, in. So now Jonah was sent in there to preach repentance. But that's not what he was preaching. He went in there, and he was preaching, yet 40 days in your history, you're gone. 40 days, God's going to destroy you. This place will be a parking lot. You have it coming, okay? And that's not what God sent him to do, okay? So now what happened when the king of Nineveh heard this?
Well, the king believed, well, the scripture said it, he believed God and proclaimed a fast and led the people in fast and prayer, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of all the people.
Even the animals. Yeah. And so now, because the king says, who knows? Who knows if this God may have mercy and spare us, because we know who this God is, and we know that he'll do whatever he wants, okay? And maybe he'll have mercy, and maybe he'll spare us, okay? And so now, old Jonah, he's kind of sulking. He's not happy. And so he says, and then the Lord says, thou dost well to be angry. Now, the Lord is chiding him here. He's chiding him. So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Oh, Jonah was hoping, Lord, I hope they don't repent, Lord.
He was waiting to see Nineveh raised, right, like Sodom and Gomorrah. He was waiting to see the fury of the Lord.
Absolutely, okay. So now, here, God decides, well, you know, I think I'm going to teach him a lesson here. So he has this gourd. He grows up a gourd, okay? And so Jonah's sitting in the shade of that gourd because, you know, it's a hot, sunny, it's hot. The sun is shining. So he's sitting in the shade of that gourd, and he's getting some relief. But instead of saying, thank you, Lord, oh, thank you for this gourd, what was he doing? He was still angry, and he had not repented because he had disobeyed the Lord several times. Time after time, he's God's prophet, and it's up to him to be obedient to the Lord. And so here, he's done exactly the opposite. But God is merciful. And so God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? So when he sent a worm to eat the root of the gourd, and the gourd withered, and then he sent an east wind. Boy, I'm going to tell you that it made it pretty hard. You know, when that hot east wind came upon him, old Jonah was not having a good day, was he?
It sure wasn't. I remember seeing in a gardening book, because we grew some gourds, and there are big plants, some of them great big plants, and they're usually on a trellis of some kind, and they quite often plant them over archways, and the gourds hang down, and it's very shady where the fruit is of the plant. The gourd itself is in the shade, and if you ever seen a picture like that, you get a better picture. He was in a comfortable place, probably 15, 20 degrees cooler by the shade of that gourd plant.
Well, do me a favor. If you ever go sit underneath that gourd plant, have Harriet take a picture and send it to me. Because I want to see that and compare you to Jonah. Well, now here.
No.
Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd for that which thou had not labored. Neither made it grow which it came up at night and perished at night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city wherein there were more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. So he's talking about children that are not at the age of discernment. So he's saying there's 120,000 children that are not at the age of discernment. So we figure, you know, like, I mean, children, you know, who can tell, and I mean, in generally speaking, right from wrong, okay? I would say just in general. Now, you know, because there are some children that are 7 years old going on 20 and others that are 20 going on 7. You know, they're different. But I'm saying, generally speaking, about the age of about 9 years old, the kids pretty much know right from wrong, don't they?
Generally, yeah. It's a pretty rough age there, but close.
And, you know, I can tell you this. We did. You know, when we were 9 years old, boy, I'm going to tell you we did. And because, you know, we knew that certain things we'd be rewarded for and others we'd get punished for. But we knew, we had common sense, and we knew right from wrong. And so the right hand here represents righteousness, or the right thing, knowing to do right, and the the left represents doing wrong, okay, meaning disobedience. So the right is obedience and the left is disobedience. So if you figure there was 120,000 at the age of 9, say 9 years old or under, then you would must figure between 1 years old of age and 20, there had to be at least 400,000. And so the population of Nineveh at that time was estimated to be 1 million people.
People, yeah.
Okay.
I had a lot of people look at that and go, they were, well, maybe that was the number of men that were military age and heard all kinds of things, but you were the first person I ever heard preached it and said it was the children.
Yeah,
everybody
that's what...
else was trying to, do something else. They didn't see the children.
Well, I think most theologians that I've studied, I most all of them that I've ever read understand that's what he's referring to as children. And then he, see, that cannot, not that will not, but that cannot discern between the right hand and left hand, okay? And so now then he says, and also much cattle. So he's asking Jonah, should I go ahead and destroy those children? They don't know any better? Jonah, what about the cattle? Should I kill off all the cattle too? Because that's what you want me to do, Jonah. Okay. And so, but the idea is the right refers to obedience. The left refers to disobedience. So let's go back over now to Ecclesiastes 10. And read me verses 1 through 5.
Ecclesiastes 10.
Mm-hmm.
Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor.
Okay, stop right there. Okay, stop right there. Now, the apothecary, that means the perfumer. That means where you use natural herbs, okay? The medicine that God has given us, the herbs, the leaves of the trees and the roots and these things, that is what goes into the apothecary, okay? And here in the apothecary, they also would make the different incenses in that, what they would burn. And that's why it was called perfumer. But here now, the apothecary is where God's medicine came from for the healing of the nations.
Right.
Now, the pharmakia, that's where you get the word pharmacy. That means wizardry or witchcraft. But that word also, pharmakia, is also used, Joe, as for poison. For poison.
Because one of the first uses of it was women who found themselves with child who didn't want to be would go and see the pharmakia and get a poison that would not kill them but would kill the baby. It was the early abortion industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And same today, the RU486 from the pharmacist.
Yep, same thing. You're right. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Okay, so here, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. So today, Joe, if you ask somebody on the right, what is a woman? When the person on the right would say to you, well, a woman can be a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, a sister, or a daughter, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But if you ask one of those on the left, they'll say that nobody really knows what a woman is, right? Like the AMA. And
well, they finally came out and said a woman is one who has a vulva. I saw that finally. It was like they finally got little sense, but not much.
Well, I've seen men driving Volvos.
Okay, here we go.
All right, so now, Let me ask you about this. Now, we believe there are only, those on the right believe there are only two genders, a male and a female.
God says male and female. He created, he created them that way. He didn't
now we,
male,
we,
female, other, and he didn't list all these other identities. He made it quite clear, male and female, period.
Now, we've never seen anything other than a male or a female, and we really don't know anyone that has. But those on the left, they have come up with, and they're not sure what a gender is. So gender could be, it could be almost anything to them. I mean, you know,
or whatever their illusion is, you know, whatever they identify. I like that one joke I saw a long time ago, a white turkey, and it had a marker, and it was putting black spots all over its body. And the turkey said, I identify as a spotted owl. And it was just about Thanksgiving time. It just explained, yeah, you identify as, but it's an illusion. There's no truth. There's no reality. It's all illusion. And you can make anything. A magician makes all kinds of illusion, but none of it's true. So same with this. There's only two sexes, only never be anything different. The chromosome, scientifically, you either have an 2X or an XY chromosome, and it's in every cell in the body, and you cannot change the makeup of your cells, period.
Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool.
Ooh.
Now we believe...
A lot of them out there.
We believe that marriage is only between a man and a woman, okay?
Right.
Because God gave us the institution and he gave us the definition. Did God know what he was doing?
Exactly. He told two to become as one. And it is quite clear. Two becoming as one, the two opposites come together and they make one unit.
Now, did he have the authority to make his ruling final on that?
He did.
So when we say that marriage can be between only a man and a woman, we're going with God's final judgment. But the fool will say, well, marriage can be whatever you want, okay? Marriage could be like that marriage parody that we play out there, you know, where you have the one guy that wanted to marry himself, the other one wanted to marry his brother. You had a whole group of people that wanted to marry each other, five or six that wanted to marry each other. But we understand different. But the fool, the Democrat out there today, they think the marriage could be, I mean, you can marry your dog if you want to, and some of them do these things. Now, we know, listen to this, Joe, you and I, those on the right, we know that only men can conceive and have babies, bear children. But now those on the left...
I'm sorry, you said only men? I think you made a... I mean only women.
All right, just testing you, Joe. All right, I wanted to see if...
No,
if
didn't fall asleep on you. I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't napping.
All righty, so now... So we do understand that if you are pregnant with a child, then you are not a man. You are not. No. If you're pregnant, then you are a woman, right?
Period, yes.
Okay. Now, those on the left, they don't know that. They're not sure about that. They think maybe if you're a man, you can get pregnant and have a baby too. Okay, so now, Joe, you and I, those on the right, they understand that men and boys cannot have menstrual periods. Only women and girls can have menstrual periods. We understand
right.
that. Now, those on the left...
We were very confused when they put the female hygiene products in the boys' bathroom. Was like, what for? I still haven't figured that one out, and I really don't want to go any further than that.
Now, those on the, again, those on the left believe that anyone who wants to have a period, a menstrual period, can have one. Now, those of us on the right, we don't know why anybody would want to have one, okay? But see, that's what makes us...
I don't understand how. If I wanted one, there's no way I'm going to have one. So it's a redundant question.
I'm glad you feel that way, Joe.
Yes.
I would be disappointed if you did. So we've come to the point in the program where we better play a clip. Let's find out what Jim Jordan has to say. We'll be right back.
So during his famous Red speech a couple of weeks ago, Joe Biden labeled his political opponents domestic extremists, terrorists who threaten the existence of our nation. Now, you may have written off that claim as the rantings of a doddering old fool, but this is the president of the United States, who is the full mechanics of the largest bureaucracy in the history of the world behind him. So now the FBI is working hard to bolster those false claims. It's opened domestic terrorism investigations all over the country, most of them against innocent people. Now we have proof that many of these investigations are entirely fraudulent. They're political. This is so wrong. This should not be happening. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio just sent a letter to the FBI director, Christopher Wray, who should be ashamed of himself, outlining the evidence. The evidence comes from a whistleblower within the FBI. According to that whistleblower, the FBI is breaking its own procedures to create the illusion that new domestic extremism cases are popping up all over the United States. In reality, virtually all of these cases are about January 6th, which was a nonviolent election justice protest and covered, of course, by the Constitution of the United States, excluding the people who committed vandalism. But you have a right to assemble if you want. So the FBI's Washington office is overseeing these investigations, these domestic extremist investigations. The whistleblower said that, quote, the manipulative case file practice creates false and misleading crime statistics. Instead of hundreds of investigations stemming from a single black swan incident at the Capitol, January 6th, FBI and DOJ officials point to significant increases in domestic extremism and terrorism around the United States. So they're lying with numbers, just like they did under Corona. This is fraud. And now it's occupying a huge percentage of the FBI's time at the very moment we just had 2 million people whose identities we can't verify waltz into our country. Now, the whistleblower says he was told that, quote, child sexual abuse material investigations were no longer an FBI priority and should be referred to local law enforcement agencies. Oh, germane to the last subject we addressed in the open tonight. You'll notice they're downplaying the importance of child sex crimes. Interesting. So we reached out to the FBI for comment, and a spokesman told us, quote, the threat posed by domestic violent extremists is persistent, evolving, and deadly. End quote. Of course, they can't point to any deadliness. Ashley Babbitt. Oh, wait. She was killed. Congressman Jim Jordan represents Ohio and is the member of Congress who has these documents. Congressman, we really appreciate your coming on and telling us about this.
Thank you. You bet.
So how do you assess what the whistleblower has told you?
Well, we think he's being straightforward. We think he's as honest. We think he's a brave guy for coming forward. And I think the way I view it in my mind is, Tucker, they're juicing the numbers and they're cooking the books. And they are so focused on this, they're willing to pull agents from child trafficking cases to foster this narrative that you talked about, that Joe Biden in front of Independence Hall with the red background, clenched fist, talking about half the country being extremists. So remember, we've had previous whistleblowers who came to us and said that they were being pressured to label cases as domestic violent extremism. This whistleblower came forward and talked to us about how they're cooking the books, making the numbers seem that there are cases all over the country, when in fact they're all related to January 6th. And now what's happened today, we learned that this newest whistleblower has been suspended from his job. So there's retaliation going against this guy for coming forward and telling us what's going on.
So the administration is doing this because there's really no one to push back. I mean, corporate America is completely on their side, the entertainment business, the media, and of course the entire Congress. If Democrats think they're going to win both houses, keep both houses, they just announced today, we're going to keep both houses.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, well, I hope it doesn't, of course, but if it were to happen,
yeah,
it feels like they would double down and start putting a lot of people in jail.
No, you, and you've, you, that's why this election in 50 days, Tucker, is so darn important. The way you send a message is put Republicans in charge, and then what we have to do is get tough. We got to be committed to getting the truth to the American people. We got to be committed to any and every remedy we can come up. Nothing should be off the table when it comes to reining in a political Justice Department, which everyone knows is now the case. I mean, think about the last 6 weeks. Joe Biden raided the home of a former president, took the phone of a sitting member of Congress. The Inspector General at the Justice Department assisted in imaging the phone. He's supposed to be the independent oversight of the Justice Department. And, oh, by the way, he also signed legislation which is going to unleash 87,000 IRS agents to come harass we, the taxpayer. That happened in 6 weeks, for goodness sake. So, yeah, this election is critical when it comes to America's freedoms, liberties, and the Bill of Rights.
I think you're right. I'm not a huge booster of the Republican Party or anything, but I'm certainly rooting for them this time. That's for sure. I think this is, when you put it that way, this is really scary. And I appreciate coming on tonight. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, thank you.
Thank you, Tucker.
All righty, there you go. You know, I think, Joe, that we, for the IRS agents out there that are listening to us, we have to ask them, is this what you signed up for? Is this what you signed up for? Now, I'm going to tell you, God's word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. It doesn't stutter at all. And what's happening is you have the obligation, okay? It's called the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. The doctrine of the lesser magistrate. And Joe, you know what the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is, don't you?
I have a pretty good idea.
All right. Well, we've seen that happen. Remember the two women named Shifra and Pua, right?
All right.
Now, they was ordered by the government to kill the male babies.
Right.
But God had given a different order. And God says, no, that's in violation of my law, and that violates my dominion. So therefore, you're not going to kill those babies. So Shifra and Pua had to overrule the king. Now, it's the same thing here. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Right. They would not bow to, they would not be obedient. They were obedient to God, not to the king.
Absolutely. Now, remember Daniel when he was ordered not to pray.
Went and prayed.
Okay, so now here,
he opened, made sure everybody saw him praying.
Right, so this is the doctrines of the lesser magistrate. If you go all through Scripture, we have it. So they know, you men in the FBI, you know that Chris Wray has gone bad. He's a dirty cop. You know that Merrick Garland has gone bad. They're a dirty cop. And you are obligated. You took an oath to obey the Constitution of the United States, and you have violated that oath. You have betrayed God, and you betrayed your country. And so you men there who have kept some integrity, who have kept some honor, you need to turn in. You need to blow the whistle. You need to blow the whistle on those corrupt people, even if you get suspended. If you get suspended, don't worry. What comes around goes around. But you need to do the right thing. You need to do the right thing. And again, it's called the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. And so, Joe here, is Joe Biden the world's biggest human trafficker? We've been saying that since he's been in office. Yeah. We have been telling people he is the world's biggest human trafficker, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Who oversaw the movement?
It was statistics. Look at the children that, what is it, there's been 100 and, having a senior moment, 180,000 unaccompanied minors recently.
Who oversaw the movement of hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens, tens and tens of thousands of, plane flights into our country? Interior, just in 1 year, it's over 2 million now. Over 2 million have been brought into since he's been in office. Now, it wasn't Martha's Vineyard mayhem that Maker Ron DeSantis recently slammed for flying 50 illegals and to the island to try to improve its diversity. Boy, I don't know what happened here, but there's something in the air in this room right now. But
anyhow, allergic to the engineer. Courageous there. He might be allergic to him.
I think it's the article I'm reading, Joe, about Joe Biden. It's Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the man occupying the White House. It's DeSantis, though.
He is going to continue draining oil from our strategic reserve until Election Day.
He can't, Joe. It's almost empty. Joe, there's no oil there left. I was watching his death.
The point is, he is draining it until Election Day, and after Election Day, he's going to stop draining the oil. You see, it brought the prices down, and helped reduce the price by selling it to the highest bidder, which in many cases was China. Think about that. He sells this oil by auction and no restrictions, so Chinese bid it, they can have it, and brought it down just in time. Remember, it came down from way high, and now it's down to, the average price is $3.68 a gallon, and he's going to try and bring it down even a little bit lower just before election, because most of the people have no understanding of what's going on, what he's doing. And he's taking credit for saving the, keeping inflation, keeping your gas down. But what's going to happen to the price of gas when he has to start filling the reserve and oil is higher and higher and higher and less of it? We're going to be paying for this little benefit, this little break for a few months.
But here, Joe, I think they have miscalculated. They miscalculated. The reserve right now is so low that there is not enough to last until the election, unless somehow they get an infusion of others that they brought in, or he might bring in, cut some deal with one of the oil companies and that to secretly bring it in, because there's not enough at the present rate for him to keep doing that, okay? And so something else has got to happen. Something else has got to happen, and I'm not sure. I know that there's all kinds of speculations about what's going to happen on the 24th. Everybody's talking about what's going to happen on the 24th, but let me go back and finish this article that we start, and then I'll go back to that. Here, it wasn't Martha's Vineyard mayhem over Ron DeSantis recently slammed for flying 50 illegals into the island to improve its diversity. It's Joseph Robinette Biden, the man occupying the White House. It's DeSantis, though, who gets called a human trafficker in mainstream media. And a high-profile senator now has noted the double standard at the Daily Mail reports. The Senator Ted Cruz branded Joe Biden the biggest human trafficker on the face of the planet. We did that a long time ago. We did that when he first got into office. That was one of the first things he did. He's cut a deal. He's working hand in hand. Joe, if I'm a prison guard and you're one of the inmates, and I tell you, well, I'm not going to help you escape, but I will make sure that the door is unlocked when you need, okay? This is exactly what they're doing. Now, do you think, Joe, he's doing that and where there's no money flowing back from the drug cartels and the human traffickers? Remember
El Chapo.
Oh, El Chapo, yeah. His second in command admitted that they had given over $1 million to Nancy Pelosi's campaign. Okay.
They're different people, yeah. They did it through various entities, but that's what they were claiming. But the true believers, the theory is they are trying to fill America with future Democratic voters so they can ensure this total transformation of America that Barack Obama said was going to happen. And you bring all these people in, give them all kinds of freebies. You're buying votes. You're buying loyalty, which is what the Democrats have always done. That's what reparations is about, buying votes. When they give the all the benefits to the people that don't work, that's buying votes. So instead of debating, having good ideas that help people, what was it, one of the cities, yeah, Denver, they're going to give every homeless person, we talked about this, $10,000. Instead of giving them a job or a training or doing something that will actually change their life, they're going to give them money. And can you imagine giving money to a drug addict or an alcoholic like that? What are they going to do with a bunch of money, cash? An alcoholic or an addict's going to go out and drink or shoot up until they kill themselves.
Ask Hunter Biden. He knows.
Yeah, you saw it when he had unlimited funds. Look where it got him. He could buy all the drugs he wanted, and it just about killed him.
All right, here's from the Revolver. Finally, the time for GOP lawmakers to expose the dark side of Disney regime once and for all. And this is an article. We had talked about this before, but it's back in the news. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis struck a heroic blow against Disney when the recent passage of a bill that would dissolve Disney's de facto private government and threaten the numerous tax perks. Now, we talked about this a while back,
mm-hmm.
but it's back in debate that go along with it. The Florida House of Representatives gave final passage to the bill that would dissolve Walt Disney's world private government handling. So praise the good Lord for people like Ron.
That's called an update. They finally passed it. DeSantis threatened it. People went along with him. It made sense. And legislature backed him up.
But already.
We got good news on your side. Today, the Democratic Party voted down the Hunter Biden probe. What happened? The Republicans were calling for a hearing to one of the documents on the Biden family business schemes and corruption. And there was a vote taken in a special House Oversight and Reform Committee looking at doing this quietly and secretly. In other words, only the people in the committee could see it. But they all voted it down. They didn't even want the any Republicans to see this, even in committee where they couldn't give out the information or anything. So open up everything on DeSantis, open up everything on Trump, but close the book on the Bidens. There will be no light shining on any of the activity of the Biden family.
Oh, yes, there will be.
Yeah,
there will be.
Somebody else gets in power, there will be.
Yeah, well, look, we're already doing it. I mean, we're shining a light on that. The Biden crime cartel is, you know what? I think they're every bit as much as corrupt as Bill and Hillary. And by the way, Bill and Hillary, they've restarted up their crime family again.
You're right. They're, what do they call it? They're, senior moment. They're kicking it back in gear. They're Save the World Foundation. They're going to go out and feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, and
they're going to do exactly what they did before.
Right, enrich themselves at the expense of the poor. That's what they did the first time around.
Yep. When you had that hurricane.
Generally, you know, if you look at what somebody's fruit is, that's generally what they're going to produce the next round, right?
Absolutely. When that hurricane came through Haiti, and there was, they raised Daddy Bush and Slick Willie went together, they made those commercials, and they raised almost $4 billion. And guess what? The people in Haiti only got 3% of what they raised. And so,
well, there's Pastor Ernie. Come on now. You've got to understand there's administrative overhead. People have to have salaries and jobs and desks and computers and fancy offices and You know, I mean, there's overhead on things like this.
Well, listen to this one.
That's a lot of overhead, right?
Sodomites against groomers permanently deplatformed from PayPal and Venmo. Look at this. Big tech continues to carry water for the Democratic and the communist overlords. They use the word gays for sodomites, against groomers, announced on Twitter that they were permanently suspended from payment processes PayPal and Venmo because the companies claimed that the gag violated their use of agreements, but failed to say what specific part of the agreement the organization violated. In other words, they were saying that these groomers, these Democrats that are groomers, that groom the little children, like what they were doing at Disneyland, like some of what's taking place in the public schools now, where they're grooming little children to be sodomites.
Well, see, these people are actually homosexuals and lesbians, and they say, you know, what you do in your own private life is your business, but they are as angry as we are that these people are going after the children. And I was listening to the leader of the group, the lady that founded it, and she's saying, you stay away from the children. You do not influence children. You do not go after children. And they are as mad as you and I are at what people are trying to do to our children. And we may not, well, we know God doesn't like their lifestyle, but at least in this sense, they are drawing a definite moral line. Children are to be left alone, period, end of story. And I have to thank them for coming out and joining in this battle to save the children.
Here's one, Joe. Texas breaking. Now, we talked about this. This happened the other day. The Baxter County Sheriff's Office was opened an investigation into the migrants that were lured from Migrant Resource Center located in Baxter County, Texas, and flown to Florida, where they were ultimately left to fend for themselves in Martha's Vineyard, the Baxter County Sheriff's Office tweeted. Now, here they sent them into Florida, and the DeSantis did the right thing and the smart thing. This sheriff is, well, he's got his head in the wrong place, don't he? So,
the sun doesn't shine.
Yeah. Additionally, we were working with private attorneys who are representative victims. What is this sheriff's name? It doesn't give his name. It's got to give him. Okay. Additionally, we're working with the private attorneys who are representing the victims. No, those people asked to be sent to Martha's Vineyard. They asked to be sent there. Representing the victim as well as advocacy organizations. Regarding this incident, we are also preparing to work with any federal agencies that have... This sheriff, I tell you what, Baxter Sheriff, let me see there. They got to give his name here someplace. Xavier Salazar, no, that's not him. Yeah. Xavier Salazar, the sheriff of Baxter County, which includes San Antonio, held a news conference on the migrant flight. Well, Xavier needs to get his head on straight, doesn't he?
Get his heart right. Starts with the heart.
Absolutely. You know, again, look, it's the hypocrisy in this whole thing. You know, these people, remember, it's all right for the people at Texas borders, and he's supposed to be representing them. It's all right for thousands and thousands, for 2.5 million immigrants to come in through Texas and destroy their homes, destroy their property, kill the people. But to send them to Martha's Vineyard, where, you know, these people, they're so compassionate, what do? They ship them out of there right away. They don't want that kind of people there in Martha's Vineyard, right?
Well, you got to remember the kind of people that live there do virtue signaling. I had to couldn't say that word right. They act a certain way. They're a hypocrite, like a stage actor. They act virtuous. They talk virtuous. They want everybody else to be virtuous. but they just signal that they really, in real life, don't do it. It's just the biggest hypocrisy in the world, but they're not the ones who go out and other than show, their lives are not concerned with the underprivileged, the poor. I remember, what was it, the words of Mother Teresa. She said when she looked out and she saw a sick person, she said, "There is sick Jesus, I must help him. The hungry person, there is hungry Jesus, I must feed him." And the people of Martha's Vineyards do not look at the world that way at all. Never have, never will.
Right. The idea is that there's two classes of people, those that are meant to be served and those that are meant to serve. And this is why,
right.
This is why the Biden crime cartel, why they want to, they're bringing in all of these IRS agents, that they want to totally, completely eliminate the middle class.
Yep.
We've been trying to tell you. The Biden crime family is involved with this human smuggling, just like that article said. He's because of what he's doing. And no matter what they do, there's always the 10% coming back to the big guy. It's always there, folks. And I don't care, what it is. That money, you're going to find that money always flowing back. It's they're corrupt as corrupt can possibly get.
Well, look at these politicians. They come in, they make under $200,000 a year. Within a few years, they're multimillionaires. They didn't get it saving their salaries. It's the corruption. That's why the deep state wants to keep it going. It's a corrupt system. People get wealthy and rich and powerful on the system, and they want to perpetuate it and keep it going because it's very, very good for them. Look at Mitch McConnell, his wife, dealing with China, millions and millions and millions of dollars. The Pelosi's through corrupt investing and insider training, have made many, 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 many millions of dollars over the years. In fact, they just, I saw something where they just voted down the putting that to the floor. They're not going to bring up that bill to stop the politicians from being able to, invest in the stock market with insider trading until after the election. That's going to get put off till after the election.
Well, after the election, you'll
about that.
How many of these Democrats are going to start resigning then? Again, we really have to be vigilant. And folks out there, you really have to go out and vote. I know you say, what's the use of the election fraud? Sure. But listen, there's enough of us, we can overcome that,
Yes.
But you've got to get out, you've got to vote. We got to get it back, and if not, America is going down the drain. They will completely and totally destroy this country. That's their goal.
We told people that one out of four professing Christians aren't even registered to vote, and only half of those that were registered to vote bothered to vote. And if the church, those that really call themselves Christians, get up and everybody registers and goes vote, there is no way they can defeat us.
Joe, we're up against a hard break.
Yep.
So we're going to be back after this. So don't go away. A lot more to come, folks. A lot more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.